unlike last night's excellent play, tonight's program is rated G. Not PG. There won't be anything off color, and I hope there won't be anything off key either. My name is Carter Enyer, for those of you that didn't hear the announcement or see the sign, and I'm a professional cellist. Right now I'm playing with the Philadelphia String Quartet, which is loosely based in Seattle. We're in residence at the university there. We give our regular series of concerts there, and we also travel quite a bit, about 4 months a year or so. How many of you might have heard us play in Seattle? I know there are a lot of Seattle and Bellevue people. Shame. One? All right. Good. A few. Good. We play in Seattle quite a bit, about 9 or 10 times a year. The next time you'll be able to hear us there will be right after, I think it's October the 10th, right after a big tour of South America, which is happening in September. As you can see, I don't have my other three colleagues with me tonight, so I have to carry the ball, which is kind of a relief, too. I don't often get to perform looking like this. We have to wear tuxes and all that kind of stuff. So. But it does give me a chance to play some of my favorite music, which are the suites for solo cello by Bach. Most of you probably know quite a bit about Bach's religious or sacred music, but probably not too much about his secular music. He had a church position for much of his life where he was required literally to write every note of music that was heard in a very large service every week, which is the result is a great collection of cantatas and, of course, all of the Passion according to St. John and St. Matthew, and oratorios, a great many solo works, arias. But there was another period in his life when he was not associated or employed by a church, and during that period he wrote the solo works for violin, the partitas, the 6 cello suites, the 6 Brandenburg concertos, 4 sinfonias, quite a bit of output. He was one of the most prolific and most people think the greatest composer of the Baroque period. He died in 1750, which means that the music you're going to hear tonight was written probably about 1725 or so. I'm going to play 2 of the suites for you. The first one is in G major. It's number 1 for all the cellists in the audience, and there are a few. Then I think in order to give my hand a rest, maybe we'll talk a little bit. And by then you might have some questions about the music or how I play it or the instrument or anything else. Just a word about the cello for those of you that are not maybe that familiar with it. It originated in this form, in this shape that you see, around the year 1600, a little bit before. Before that, the instruments that were played with a bow were called viols, V-I-O-L. The bass viol is the only modern-day remnant of those instruments. And if you've seen a bass up close, you know that it's shaped a little differently. The shoulders kind of slope down instead of being like this. So this was perfected about 1600, and it went through many, many changes and periods of perfecting it. By the time Bach wrote these suites, it was already an accepted member of the solo instrumental family. It was no longer relegated to playing bass lines, which is the way that it came into its first existence. The suites that you're going to hear tonight are, as I said, for solo cello, which means that, of course, there's no accompaniment, and they're written in such a way that I'll be accompanying myself most of the time. And for anybody that's tried to play these, they know that that you can get your fingers tied in knots pretty easily trying to play 2 or sometimes even 3 voices at once. Both of these suites are in the same form. There are 6 short movements. The first is a prelude, which characteristically is kind of a free form, fantasy type of form. The other 5 movements were quite specific in the way that they had to be written. They're all stylized dances, meaning that they weren't actually written to be danced to, but they were written in the style of dances that were popular at the time. So the first movement is a prelude, the second is an allemande, which is a German dance. The third is a courant, which is a form of a French dance. Courant means running, and it goes quite fast. The fourth is a sarabande, which actually was a very slow dance done in church processions, specifically in Spain, I think, at the time, Spain and France. It's a very gentle, slow dance. Then there are two minuets, which are played more or less as one movement. Usually the two minuets are contrasting in key. In this case, in the major suite, the second minuet is in a minor key, and the reverse is true in the second suite that I'll play. And then there's a gigue, a very lively gigue as the last movement. After the two, I'll tell you about the rest later. Maybe we'll play the first one. This is the solo suite number one by Bach.
Thank you.
cello or anything. While I'm resting, we can talk about it. Yeah. When was the cello made? My cello was made about 1816 in, well, they're not sure where. It's sort of an illegitimate son, I guess, but probably somewhere in Northern Europe, Bohemia, possibly Czechoslovakia, by a maker who studied in Italy, probably, and then went back home to make his living there. Most of the instruments are made from maple. Back is curly maple and spruce. And the fingerboard, of course, here is ebony. You have to ask questions so I can rest. Come on. Yeah. It's mine. Well, you can buy pretty good instruments like this one in not too many places. The old stories about finding a Stradivarius in your Aunt Mary's attic aren't really that common anymore. There just aren't that many fine old instruments around. But I did find this one about 18 years ago, I guess, in a shop in New York City that was going out of business. The owner had died and his family was liquidating. They didn't want any part of the business, so I was able to get it fairly reasonably. It does still happen, though, once in a while, that story I started to tell you about the finding the Stradivarius. So it doesn't hurt to have them checked out if somebody does have a violin or a cello or something that looks really old. Of course, the makers, the modern-day makers, are getting like the furniture makers. They can take something brand new and make it look 300 years old overnight and just beat it with chains for a while and all that. Yes, another one. At the time I was in college and I was very anxious to find a better instrument than I had. It's getting very difficult now, though, to find good old instruments. The old ones don't always sound best, but they're always more valuable just because they're old. There are things about the old instruments, though, particularly Stradivarius violins, that science in all its wisdom has not been able to duplicate. I mean, they can take aged wood, they can take wood that was as old as he used. They can measure and recreate that instrument exactly as far as wood and density and vibration and all that. The one thing that they cannot duplicate is the experience, let's say, of the violin being together for 300 years and having that varnish slowly just penetrate into the wood. And that, I guess, is why they're so valuable. I just heard last month about a cello for sale in a Strad, for sale in Chicago for $290,000. So it's getting to the point as with inflation that young artists in particular, or even old ones like me, can't afford to buy. Yeah, Bach was a violinist also. He played mainly keyboard and violin. I think actually he played the violin maybe first, even before keyboard. So he knew pretty much the problems. You ask any violinist, you know, and they'll tell you. Yes? How long have I played? Well, I started when I was 8, so that's about 10 years now, right? Eleven, yeah. Since I joined the quartet, all these gray hairs started showing up. I'm aging fast. Yeah. Maintenance procedures. Well, if it's a good solid instrument, if it was well made in the first place, there's not too much that has to be done. Maybe every 15 or 20 years or so it should be gone over for the major things, like having the neck maybe reset. There's a block of wood under here that you can't see that goes through the instrument about that solid. It just holds this on, and a similar one down here. And everything is suspended between those two points. And that, especially with age and weather conditions, that can loosen. Other than that, you should just make sure that it's always glued up around the sides, that the seams are glued up, because that can affect the sound quite a bit. Yes? We're a quartet in residence at the University of Washington. in Seattle. So we play on the campus most. Pardon me? Yeah. The original group was formed in Philadelphia. And if we change the name now, we'd have to reestablish all the contacts in Europe and in the States. So nobody would know us as the Seattle Quartet anymore. But we're asked that question at least once a day in Seattle for the last 14 years, so don't feel bad. Yes? Oh, no. No, no. There's too many things to remember in a quartet.
So these are numbers that just pay us here.
Yeah. Yes, Mary. Yes, you do. If you want to make sure that it's absolutely safe. And they used to charge half fare for it, and now I understand Delta leading the way and charging full fare for the cello. It gets very expensive when you go to Europe and all that. All right, well, I've had a good rest now. I'm going to play the second suite now. It's a very similar in form to the first one, except this one's in a minor key. So it's a little more introspective, maybe, than the first one. And after that, I'm going to play something for the young people here. It's a very short march by Prokofiev. There are not that many works with solo cello, so I'm kind of limited as to what I can do. But first we'll do the second suite. Again, it's the prelude, Allemande, Courante, the two minuets.
Thank you. Thank you.
the kids have to run off to bed. I promised them something. So this is a little piece, it's a little march from a group of pieces by Prokofiev, Russian composer. It's called Music for Children. So this is the march from the Music for Children by Prokofiev.